So if you guys have any questions whatsoever about keto or intermittent fasting, whether you're starting keto as a new person or just need to debug your program, or you have a question about a product, call one of our keto consultants. They'll be able to help you. Call 540-299-1557. That's 540-299-1557.
Did you realize that an average person consumes only 1.4 cups of vegetables per day? That's right, you heard me. Only 1.4 cups. We're supposed to consume at least 7 to get our daily minerals and vitamins. Vegetables also supply phytonutrients as well as beta carotene and thousands of plant-based chemicals that give us many added health benefits. To fulfill this missing requirement, Dr. Berg has developed Veggie Solution. Veggie Solution is a high-quality greens powder that allows you to easily get your recommended amount of greens every single day. Just 2 delicious scoops gives you an equivalent of 6 cups of greens at only 69 cents per scoop. That's less than a dollar for 6 cups of greens. Dr. Berg's Veggie Solution is a complete protein, highly digestible, low carb, keto-friendly, with tons of omega-3s and absolutely no sugar. Dr. Berg feels it's important that everyone gets their vegetables, and made this product cost-effective too. Veggie Solution comes in original and in a raspberry lemon flavor. Go to shop.drberg.com to get yours today.
Welcome to the Dr. Berg's Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast, where Dr. Berg takes you on the journey for the truth about getting healthy and losing healthy weight.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I have a great guest today, and his name is Rob Kidney, and he was one of the contestants on The Biggest Loser, and welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time. I really want to start out just to kind of hear your story, your background first. Tell us a little bit about, the struggles with weight and your health, even before you went on The Biggest Loser. In a thumbnail sketch.
I guess I was a chubby little kid and struggled with that when I was a little bit young, kind of grew out of it when I was a teenager, and through high school and college, pretty much maintained my weight pretty well. Got out into the business world as a salesman, traveled a lot, ate a lot of food in restaurants, of course. All the time eating out, and just started to put on a little bit of weight. And honestly, up until, I guess about 1996 or 97, I was maybe 30, 40 pounds overweight for a long period of time. And then I had about a 10-year stretch of a whole bunch of events that just put so much stress on me that I just realized that my stress eating got a little bit out of control. So,
So it's a combination of stress and stress eating and then eating the wrong foods, right?
Yes. It's, the stress is big. Stress is a big thing. I always have been an athlete and exerciser, all through college. Even when I was in my first, I've been married 36 years, my first, years of marriage, we exercised a lot together, hiked, walked, ran, was in the gym as much as possible, but I love to work. I've always loved to work. I guess you like to work too. I see so many videos coming out every day.
Yeah.
Finding time to exercise in that kind of environment, like most people, we are, I call them intermittent exercisers. We exercise when we can.
Right. And what was the peak weight that you hit? Like, what's the most you've ever weighed?
326 when I started The Biggest Loser.
Wow. So here you are. You hit this weight. When you walked around or sat, what did it feel like on your joints to have that much weight? Did you adapt to it? Or
it was miserable at that point. And I'll say it over and over again. Anybody that asks me about The Biggest Loser experience, it literally saved my life. I really believe that it did. I was in a bad situation. I'd gone through 2 cancer surgeries, both prostate and finally got that taken care of. That was about 2009, 2010.
And how old were you at the time?
I was probably 54. So okay. It's pretty early for prostate cancer, but I tracked it. We caught it pretty early and got that taken care of. I had a freak tornado came through. I had two businesses and destroyed my business. Insurance wouldn't pay anything. So in a matter of seconds, I lost a couple hundred thousand dollars and borrowed to rebuild. And the economy just went down in 2009. And I had a drug problem for many years, which was probably worse than the cancer. And several other things, but it just all kept building. I had a really good friend and best friend and one of my mentors in life, fell off of a ladder and died. And I just started eating more. I would find myself sometimes in drive-thrus at restaurants, not knowing how I got there.
Wow. So you have all these present time problems and it's just stacking up. And of course you want to get relief. So people turn to eating. So when you actually got on this, this show, tell us a little bit of experience of how that went. It looked pretty intense.
Well, it was intense. It was, to take a 326 pound body and tell it to go to the gym for 40 hours a week. There was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, but
40 hours a week at the gym. 40, that's a full-time job at the gym.
Yes, it was. I mean, some of that, of course, was with trainers, as you see on TV, but a lot of it's not. But again, the biggest loser, I just have to tell you, for me, it was a break from life, which I greatly needed. Yeah. I needed some intervention. I just believe it was a God-sent thing to help me take a sabbatical from life. So,
I didn't know that. I didn't know how much a person exercised on that program. So can you give me just a summary, through the day? Is it just like, okay, you're on the treadmill for an hour, take a break. Okay, go back on the lift the weights, go back. Like, what kind of workout would you do in a given day?
The workouts were it's mostly staying really, really busy all day long. We get up in the morning and if you chose to eat something, we pretty much prepared our own foods. We didn't have a chef at the Biggest Loser. We learned how to cook. They have the best nutritionist in the world and chefs who teach you some things about cooking, but then you're on your own, or else you wouldn't be able to make these decisions. It is a show. It is a contest. At the time when it started 12, 13 years ago, it used the best possible science available at that time that was going on. So I will never fault the Biggest Loser for anything, but give it credit for saving my life. But we started with a morning workout, which was most of the time a fasted workout, just like I do now. Then come back, eat a little bit of calories. Sure, we ate frequent times throughout the day, but for the intensity of what we were doing, it was probably necessary. So the food was the best produce in the world. Ate a lot of vegetables, which was new for me. One of the things I really learned how to do well there was eat a really plant-based meal. I ate a lot of plant-based food. The big thing that changed for me after the show, and of course going to keto, it's been carbs. I've ate clean since that point, really clean.
I want to kind of just get, because I want to get into that topic, but I wanted to find out just as far as the workout. So you would basically, you would eat through the day and then you would work out in the afternoon.
Well, we would work out on our own in the morning, then maybe with a trainer for a couple hours, do a couple hour HIIT workout or circuit workout. It's not all cardio. It's some really fun workouts. We have the best trainers around, and each trainer has a little different flair and a little different style. My trainer was Jen Wiederstrom, and she would put us through some leg circuit training or CrossFit type training and we had a lot of fun, but doing it as a group also helped. I mean,
so then you would go a period of time, and then was it 7 days a week or did you have a day off?
Well, we were working out the whole time we were there. Most of the contestants get on there. I mean, everyone gets on the Biggest Loser. I think the biggest motivation is to lose as much weight as fast as possible. I don't think money's a big thing. It might come into play after if you've lost a lot of weight, but everybody goes there to lose as much weight as fast as possible.
Right. Okay.
So you're working out all the time. There is a little pressure to, and once one person goes out and works out, everybody starts working out, but you work out every couple hours, put a little bit of food in your mouth, work out again, put a little food.
Interesting. And then, I think, obviously the food was fairly clean, but then you had the frequency of meals. So you had quite a few meals, and then you also were allowed snacks and fruit, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was like meal, little snack, meal, little snack, meal, little snack. And again, they have to leave a lot of that up to you so that you'll either sink or swim in the show contest. But at all times, you're totally monitored. You log your food. It's being checked so that there are just no problems. No one is allowed to go to severe calorie restriction unless they completely didn't tell the truth. You know,
right.
Everything is monitored and safe.
Okay. And then at the point, you lost a total of, how much was the total that you lost?
116.
Wow. And that was over a period of how long?
About 3 months on the ranch doing the 40 hours a week. Then you come home and most people have jobs. So you go back to work and still try to work 24 hours a week, wow, next 3 months. And then you have a live finale and then you come home and crash. So.
Wow. Okay. So you lost all the weight and then you completed that program.
Yes.
And then you were done. And then what happened at that point with your weight?
Well, come back home. When we finished up, we were, of course, the last season. I guess it was the New York Times that published the report, the Biggest Loser study that came out. And they were aware of that when we got done. And they did their due diligence of warning us that we would have to go home. And the study shows that, you know, your leptin levels are down, your metabolism is downgraded, and you're going to have to either exercise a good many hours and eat really, really clean to keep this off. And then we would have regular calls and group calls for a while after that to just check on us and to see how we were doing, and maybe if we needed any advice, they would give us some advice. So.
And then you gained some weight back.
Yeah, I gained some weight back. Probably in 18 months, I gained 88, 90 pounds in 18 months back. Was a very, very scary time. Most of my eating was clean. Kale shake for breakfast, salad for lunch, and a low-carb dinner. I've eaten low-carb for many, many, many years, but I did eat some quinoa and some rice, and I don't know if there are cleaner carbs, but ate pretty well. Sweet potatoes and didn't eat a whole lot of junk. But in that 18 months, it just kept coming on. I exercised a few hours a week, a lot less than I was told that I had to. But anyway, it just kind of just kept crawling and creeping back on. I guess my set point was so low and my metabolism was so low that it was a really scary thing until about January 1st. I had started about, in January 1st of 2018, I had been watching your videos, for about 6 months, slowly making changes as you had suggested. You know, I looked, I watched a lot on keto. That's all I was hearing was keto this, keto that. But I really didn't like some of the things that I was hearing on the internet that went against my ideas of what clean eating was. I mean, bacon 7 days a week,
Yeah, I think, and let's just bring this up because I think there's this kind of delusion comment generality that says, oh, keto is all just pure bacon and red meat and fat, right? That's kind of like...
That's what I saw at first.
Right. So, but there's what's called a healthy version of it, which is actually a lot of vegetables, high quality meats, and it's not all just fat.
Right. I eat cleaner than probably anybody I know. I eat more vegetables and more kale. I liked your approach. Your approach helped me. One, as I was looking at keto, I was looking at intermittent fasting because I had determined it was probably the key. But I didn't know that I could really fast and go and push myself to that limit because I'd been eating four or five times a day, even small amounts, not big amounts, but I didn't know that I could do it. But when you started to say, okay, take your five meals, turn them into three meals, eliminate the snacks, then push your breakfast back toward lunchtime until you're eating in an 18-6 window. So that made a lot of sense to me. And the other thing was just 7-8 cups of greens a day sold me because I knew from my experience, even on the ranch, my best weeks were all vegetables and fish weeks. Those were
right.
my best weight losses, healthy fats and greens.
I love it. So for those of you that are watching that are new, and I want to mention something because this is like the most important point is the combination of a healthy version of keto and then intermittent fasting. When you have to eat so often, you're raising insulin, despite if you're eating nuts, it doesn't matter. You're just raising insulin. So intermittent fasting forces your body to actually live off your fat between the meals. When you do that, you actually go into a state of ketosis, which is fat burning. And you think that, oh, I'm going to struggle with it. But no. You actually, your hunger goes down. Your cravings go down. You can last longer because you're running off your own fat. The way that most people do it if they snack is they never actually get into a true sustained fat burning. And the whole key to this thing is lowering your insulin, which will prevent the slowing of your metabolism. I think what happened to you is that because of the raise of the stress of losing weight and then the raising up of insulin, that slowed the metabolism right there. So if you have a stubborn metabolism, you have to focus on lowering insulin. That is the secret right there. And that's what you did.
Yeah. And one thing you said there about whenever you eat, insulin raises. I was hearing a lot on the internet about you can eat all this fat and you can eat, I mean, you can eat a lot of greens and things, but there are certain foods that won't spike your insulin. But I found out that every time I ate a meal, starting January 1st of last year, my insulin went up, my sugar went up. I bought me a ketone meter and I was ketones 3, 4, 5 times a day. Fasting days, I would eat something. I'd eat a certain sweetener just to test it. I would eat a kale salad to test it. And even on a kale salad, my insulin spiked. And as we know, with someone who is insulin resistant, who has maybe some fatty liver and some other problems, that spike stays up a little bit longer than someone who's maybe 10, 20 pounds overweight. But that's what I found. I tested everything that you were telling me and it worked. I mean, I did not want to give away all my healthy eating, my grains. I'm a big supplement guy. I take a lot of stuff and I take some of your supplements and all the time, but it's, I did not want to give up really good eating. And the other thing that kind of bothered me was, you know, and some people don't do it in the world of keto, but I counted my carbs. I put everything in. I logged every bit of food that I've ever eaten. That's one best thing that Biggest Loser ever taught us, was to log every bit of food. I use my Fitness Pal, but every time I come up with my Fitness Pal, it's saying I'm eating 40, 50 carbs a day, and I think I'm eating 10, 15 carbs a day. But a lot of my carbs are good, healthy carbs that are coming from the vegetables in the salads and things like that. So I'm okay at about 50. I stick 40 or 50 probably if I'm going to count every carb. I don't like the idea of, well, don't count this and don't count that. I count them all. I try to stay 40 to 50 grams a day if I'm eating vegetables, and I'm happy with that. So
interesting. And one more point about that. When you eat vegetable carbohydrates, you're dealing with a carbohydrate, but a lot of that's in the form of a fiber. Fiber, sure, despite being a carbohydrate, doesn't have the effects of like other macronutrients. So it eventually, indirectly, it's fed to the microbes that turns into what's called a butyric acid, which then helps you fix insulin resistance. So indirectly, it helps you. Yes. So not to mention all the potassium and the magnesium in the vegetables and the chlorophyll, which basically also help insulin resistance. I think a subtle point that I hope everyone got so far is that we're not even dramatically changing your diet. We're actually changing the frequency of when you're eating and probably tweaking it. But did you also tweak it with cutting out some of the sweet potato or fruit?
I'll eat a berry every once in a while. I don't eat a lot of fruit, but I take bioflavonoids and a lot of minerals. I eat a sweet potato. That's my cheat day. If I have a cheat day, it'll be a half of a sweet potato, something that's really, I enjoy conquering that sweet craving. Big for me. I guess the best I've been able to identify myself is a thyroid type. We're talking about body types from all the research I did in your health coach classes. I think I'm a thyroid type, but that sweet craving as well is something that when you get on keto, first thing you want to do is find all these sweet alternatives that you can throw in your mouth at 8 o'clock at night, like you used to do ice cream or cereal or something else. And then it seems like to be successful, you got to progress beyond that and actually attack the problem, which is the sweet craving. And the fats do help that. They help a lot. But I eat today I've over this year, let's say I've taken back off another 50 plus pounds. I still have about 35 pounds to go till where I got off the Biggest Loser. And it's been slow. There's been plateau after plateau after plateau, and that's okay. I'm eating to be healthy, and the weight loss will follow. And that's
the
big thing that you said that totally agreed with my philosophy. I want to get healthy. I was almost dead.
Yeah, I saw that.
I totally believe what they say. I was dying and probably didn't have long to go. They found another thing I'm very grateful for with all the medical staff that they have. They found 3 heart blockages. My current blood work that I just had now after, you know, I'd say a year and a half of keto and a good year of intermittent fasting with keto, all my markers are in line. I was back on blood pressure, back on thyroid medicine. That's all gone.
Again, wow.
My TSH for the first time and T4 is totally in line. Calcium's a little low. My calcium's always a little low for some reason. Maybe because I don't eat dairy. I don't know. Maybe you can help me. I do supplement.
Mm-hmm. What do you supplement with?
I'm not the rocks and other things, not the carbonates. And I forget. It's a citrate.
Okay, good. Yeah, as long as it's a citrate mineral, it'll be fine. As long as it's not people, those of you that are watching, you never want to just take the form of calcium and a calcium carbonate. Yeah. You'd be better off chewing on the cement out there. So we want to stick with the citrate. But you have to. Calcium is one thing that I'm really cautious. The only time I'd recommend it is if it shows low or you have bone loss, because as people age, the thing that they have always too much of in the wrong place is calcium. And so they have calcium in the arteries, they have calcium in the joints. And so you got to be careful, even especially women, with calcium supplements and iron supplements. Those are two that you got to be careful with.
Right.
Question I have about just the differentiation of the foods, like you were doing probably a lot of snacking, I'm guessing, you're just eating frequently. And now you're lowering the carbs and you're eating one meal a day, right?
I really found that I have to mix it up a lot. I went to total OMAD for one meal a day for a while. Let's say, well, we started off the beginning of the year pushing in an 18-6 window with two meals. Then I graduated to one meal a day. I really love how I feel on one meal a day. I like it a lot, but I did plateau after a short while. And the plateau, I give a plateau 3 or 4 weeks before I really panic about it. But 3 or 4 weeks later, I said, we got to switch something up. So at the advice of everybody on the internet, they say, eat more fat. You're not eating enough fat. You're not eating enough fat. Well, one, I'm 60 years old. Another thing that you have taught me is that as you age, maybe you need to look at your fat percentage and keep it more around 60% than 70 or 80. So I try to keep it around 60% and I function really well there. When it gets beefed up, and especially on snacks, nuts will put on weight on me really quick. Or if I get that fat up there around 70, 80%. And you can tell that real easy on some of the, I don't want to push my Fitness Pal, but I have my Fitness Pal, the paid for version that you can track all your macros and keep your percentages. And I love that. So,
wow. Yeah, that's a good, for those people that are plateauing, and I'll just kind of give you a couple things that you probably already know. Number one, it's not necessarily a matter of increasing the fat. If you're plateaued, we want your body to burn your own fat and not as much of the dietary fat. So you want to bring your fat down a little bit, not as a low fat, but maybe have the fat not extra, but just with your protein. Like you're getting your fat with the salmon or the other, as compared to adding butter or things like that. If you get your fat below 75 grams, and I will be sending out a video of what that looks like if you want to see, but 75 grams is about 55 to 60% of your total calories for an average person if you're doing like 1,800 calories for the day. But here's the thing. There's a couple other things that you can look at. And you hit it, Ron. You talked about the nuts. There's carbs and nuts. There's also fiber and nuts. There's things in nuts that are anti-nutrients that can irritate your gut, that can create a little bit of inflammation. Same thing with dairy. So nuts and dairy are the two things that could put you in a plateau. So what you could do is switch the type of nut that you're consuming. For example, almonds might sound like a healthy nut, but I found that they're high in lectins, which actually create a little, this is kind of an inflammatory thing in your gut. So if you did walnuts and you can soak them overnight in water, that it pulls out all these anti-nutrients, and I have a dehydrator, you can dry them out for like 8 hours, and then you can eat those. You'll find that they digest better. They're easier to digest. You'll get some good fat and protein from that, and omega-3 fatty acids. And you can then also, maybe as a fat, eat olives. That would be beneficial. So you're not hungry all the time and have your protein. And the other thing that I found with people is that you have to be careful about. Certain people cannot just digest any vegetable. They maybe leafy greens or this vegetable, but if they start bloating and they start getting any type of digestive problem on that, you got to switch up your vegetable. And sometimes steamium will help, but it's like you can't just put everyone on the exact same program. Sure. So when you test your ketones, I think that's very valuable because you can find out what foods agree with you. Because that could be why you're not, you know, progressing. The last thing I want to mention is that with intermittent fasting, you know, just like, I don't know if they did this on The Biggest Loser, muscle confusion. They constantly change the workout. I don't know if they did that. Probably they did. But we want to also do that with fasting. Like maybe you don't eat at the exact same time each day. Let your body tell you when you should eat. Like even with some people, I find that maybe every third day they're not eating. They're like eating one meal a day, and then every third day they skip that meal because they can go longer. So it's kind of a mini periodic prolonged fasting every so often, but not on a regular basis. Kind of like you're kind of tricking your body into, it doesn't really know when it's going to eat. That doesn't necessarily slow the metabolism because you're actually, you have your insulin low, but it might kind of reset and you're in to lose more weight. So prolonged fasting periodically, but not in a pattern, is very powerful to bust through that plateau.
Wow, that's exactly what I found. I mean, if I look at this week, I start off Sunday night, is Sunday's my kind of high fat day. And then I'll either go into and again, I worked up to this point. So anybody who's listening, this is something that's worked up over time, but I'll do a 48 or 36 hour fast from Sunday night to either Tuesday lunch or Tuesday night. I'll eat my one meal a day. That makes Tuesday one meal a day. Wednesday is also one meal a day. Thursday might be another fasting day. I might eat Friday morning and then eat and then give it another 8 or so hours and maybe eat a little bit Friday night. Saturday and Sunday, I eat two good meals on Saturday and Sunday and some fat. And then I'll switch it up a little bit next week.
That's good. That's good data. Do you find that, are you actually hungry when you eat, or you just eat like, oh, I just have to eat? Or are you actually hungry right before you have to eat?
Well, funny thing about hunger, as someone who never had an off-on switch my whole life, I've had to really learn this. Keto has helped me to really learn this, or intermittent fasting has helped me to really learn hunger. And I find I'm in a car all the time. I exercise at gas stations. I exercise when I'm in the Verizon store. I was in the Verizon store one day, but I am going to get some exercise in because it has found to me to break any plateau that I have if I do a little bit of exercise. Now, I refuse to do exercise that I can't maintain every week of my life. Mm-hmm. A few hours of exercise in, but I do my squats, my push-ups, and go up and down stairs, or maybe some cardio or some of the things you see behind me, body weight exercises, but I don't do a lot of it. I just want to keep moving and keep strong. I am 60 years old here in a couple months, and when the oils in my body now and the good fats keep my bones from cracking and creaking, I get out of bed in the morning and I feel alive. I feel vibrant and I can get through my day without a pain. I mean, it's just really wonderful, but I switch it up all the time now. But back to the hunger thing, the hunger does go away, and you can make it through a 30 minute time period and maybe drink some of your minerals in my water, so I just hit some more of that if I get hungry when I'm out there, but most of my success has been working up here on the things that make me eat and the things that stress me out. And just if you don't attack some of the things up here, why I'm overeating, my portion control has been a big thing for me because I've always had what I call a fat mind. I mean, if you would have saw my plate before, I would have had two big pork chops on it or a 16 ounce piece of steak. Now I have my 4 ounce piece of meat and eat red meat a lot less frequently than I did before.
Well, that I want to just interject because I think that this whole thing with calories, calories don't matter, this and that. Well, if you look at the macros on the healthy version of keto, you have moderate protein. We're not talking high protein, moderate protein, 3 to 6 ounces, depending on your size. You can maybe a little more, a little less. And then you have a lot of vegetables, and then you have a certain amount of fat. And that's the wild variable. So as you get into keto, you start reducing that. So, but we're not actually, this is not the same as what a lot of other people are preaching, like, oh, you just got to lower your calories. globally. No, that's not about that. It's like shifting your calories to manipulate your hormones. So if you have a low calorie diet with a little bit of fruit, a little bit of the wrong thing, and you snack through the day, you are going to have a heck of a time trying to get into fat burning because it's that insulin spike. So it's really understanding how to do this right. I don't know what you had to sign, what you can say, what you can't say with the Biggest Losers, but was there anyone, and I'm just curious, and you could say nothing, but was there anyone, like, did they recommend any type of pills or anything to enhance your metabolism, like caffeine pills or anything like that?
It was probably the most tightest controlled environment I've ever been in my life. And there was never anything like that.
Okay.
On that show. And in fact, if I could say, everything you did, even from weigh-ins, they made sure you weren't dehydrated, over-dehydrated. You weighed in 3 days in a row, if that's not a trade secret. But the reason of that was to make sure you weren't dehydrating and to make sure you didn't have a big weight gain after weigh-in. I mean, it was total control.
Okay. And then what about did you make some friends and follow up with people? Did they also gain the weight back?
I'm on a Facebook group, I guess, with probably 300 other Biggest Losers who have shared this unique experience. Some, of course, and the ones that are or weren't happy with the results that they got. But most people, if not all, have an immediate weight gain at first. But most of the ones I know find a point and come back to like where I am now, 30, 40 pounds overweight, and some are satisfied there. Some have gone down and taken all their weight back off, but we still support each other because it was an interesting phenomenon that not a lot of people get to go through. And
yeah, I bet you, and I'm sure it'd be interesting to see if they're reaching for keto, and just by your story, it'd be interesting if they're like, oh, that's a great, I'll have to look into that.
There are many. There are many who are, and is at least low carb, high fat, synonymous terms with me. I'm old enough that I've been around, and I remember Atkins, and I remember how popular it was, and I remember being on the Atkins diet. It started off very healthy too, and it kind of had the same press that keto gets now. It had a whole lot of people making comments about it without a whole lot of scientific fact. And again, you're an expert in the field. You make a living doing this. Jillian Michaels is an expert. She makes a living doing what she's doing. She's very good at what she does. She has a lot of really good things to say, but you're always on the spot for the things that you say that someone could interpret them in a different light. Or, you know, again, I'm 60 years old. I've said too many things with my own mouth that have got me in trouble my whole life that I try, you know, no matter how hard you try, you can't avoid that sometimes. But Jillian Michaels is fantastic at what she does. I would never criticize her for that, but some of the statements that she said were just totally not scientific in fact. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Break. Let's give her a break. You know, hopefully you would learn the science and then come back and maybe say, maybe this isn't true, but that doesn't happen a lot in life.
Yeah. My only point with that is that, you know, there's a lot of people struggling just like you were, and they're looking at things there's no denying that the keto lifestyle helps you lose weight, but what happens is what right now they're putting just a little bit of doubt that it's an unhealthy way to do it. That doubt could be the reason why they might not even do it, because they're operating off of some completely false information, because they're looking at the ketogenic diet as the diet that's been researched over the last 100 years with children, which I believe is not very healthy. But the fact that you're lowering carbs does help epilepsy, but you can't just do any type of fat. You have to do a healthy version. And of course, no one's talking about that really important point. If you combine healthy version, which is basically quality foods with a lot of nutrients, and the benefit of lowering your carbs, it will solve a lot of your health problems without having to even tackle these symptoms individually. So that's the kind of the beef, no pun intended, that I have with some of the comments out there. People should be able to get the truth, the facts about doing it healthily, and not have that doubt in their mind. Because, you know, unfortunately, I did that video and I read some of the comments, and there were a lot of people. I mean, most of the people were like, "Wow, this is great," but then there was a percentage that like, "Yeah, I'm a little scared now. I don't think I'm going to try it." Like, it's too bad, because you could probably benefit from it.
I see what you're saying. And a good case in point was almost the very second that article came out, maybe 30 minutes later, I posted a picture of what a high fat meal is. It was a piece of fish on a bed of cabbage that was cooked in butter. The fish was cooked in olive oil. And I had a side of kale salad that had more olive oil on it. And the first comment that I got back was someone sent me Jillian's comments. Just so you're right. People see things, and if it keeps them from experiencing something that will change their life, it is very doable to maintain the rest of your life. There are people been on keto for 20 years now, or eating low carb high fat for 20, 30 years, and living just great. And
In fact, you just gave me a good idea. I think I'm going to do a specific video on what 75% or 70% fat percentage of your calories looks like on your plate. I'll give a lot of examples, because they're thinking, wow, 70% of your calories? Well, you have to realize the calories are more than double other macros. So you're dealing with, it's not 75% volume like in grains. Yeah. It's calories. So when you look at the plate, you're only talking a quarter of your plate is fat, but it's mixing with the protein. So it's not what people think. So I think I'm going to clarify that point.
And probably the biggest mistake that people are having it by not logging in their food is they don't see that. If you log in your food and you're checking it meal by meal, sometimes log it in. I log it in a lot before I eat it, too, just to see where I'm at. It's, wow, I need to make another choice.
That's a good point. I love it.
It is so easy to get 70% fat in your without tonning in all kinds of extra fat.
No, you don't have to.
I have learned some other healthy habits that I do, you know, a little bit of olive oil on an avocado. Oh, what a snack that is, with a little bit of salt. But
one question I forgot to ask you, when you did, was their eating plan a low fat plan?
Well, you're taught all kind of really great things about vegetables and how to cook them and how to prepare them and nutrition. And then again, you're monitored. And if you say, I'm going to eat only protein, or I'm going to eat something, you get a phone call or you get a visit, and you have to straighten that out right away. But the meal plan there was just to make sure that you could sustain the amount of workout that you were doing. The frequency of eating was probably necessary for what we were doing.
So, but they didn't necessarily specifically tell you have to go lean protein or low fat proteins. Okay.
No.
Okay, interesting.
You watch people who eat chocolate oatmeal the first few days, and then people were eating some lunch meat and processed meats, and most of the food there is clean, but you could request some special things if you've been eating them for a long time. But, you know, pretty soon everybody, the processed foods disappear. All the big grains, and someone will still eat some grains and some potatoes and things like that. But it gets narrowed down. Most of the people, if we were really high on knowledge before we went there, we wouldn't be there. So we show up, they give us as much knowledge as we can. And the dynamic of the show is you figure it out as you go, and some figure it out a little bit more than others.
Wow. Well, go ahead.
I'm just saying, when you can sit there, though, and exercise 35, 40 hours a week, and you're eating a healthy amount of calories, 1,600, 1,700, 1,800 calories for a diet is not too extreme if you're going to count the calories. But when you're doing that and still only losing 1 or 2 pounds a week, something hormonally is happening in your body that's not being addressed. And that makes a lot of sense. And I figured it out through keto. So,
wow. Yeah. And I think because of this, this whole experience in your life, you're going to decide to start coaching people, or maybe you're already doing it now, right?
I'm working it behind me. I have a big backyard. We do every once in a while. I just enjoy working with people. One, because it helps me keep me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I have had boot camps in the past. We last 3 or 4 months and then on to something else. I'll take an individual and work with an individual one-on-one sometimes. I work a lot. I'm a sales manager, so I travel a lot. And I mean, someday I hope to be doing some health coaching full time, or find another alternative. I've got a lot of things that I'm working on now that may come to fruition in the future. But we get together here and have a lot of fun.
I think you took my health coaching course, right?
I did. I loved every bit of it. Again, it kept me accountable, but it helped me learn so much and get focused and get narrowed in. I would recommend that to anybody, even if they don't want to be a health coach.
Wow.
If they really want to learn the amount of information that's put forth, I think it took me a little longer than most people with my work. I probably got through it in about 4 months, but I'm going over and over that information all the time.
You know, it's one last point about that. It's the way I like to solve problems is through understanding the problem. And the more you can understand about it and have the correct knowledge, that's how you solve problems. It's like you can't – if you are an expert in marriage counseling but you've never been married, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. So if you actually have the full knowledge of insulin and the different hormones, and it's going to be really hard for you to eat poorly. It's really hard for me to eat junk food now because I have such a deep understanding of what it does in the body, the consequences. So on that hand, and then the other thing is that I think one of the therapies for myself is helping others. So it's a very therapeutic thing to create a difference in someone's life and help them. It's like, I just love doing it. In fact, if I'm not helping people on a constant basis, I'm not as happy. So it's a good therapy to have a tool that you can really create a difference. So from that viewpoint, it's awesome.
I love to read comments on your Facebook page, and I hang around the Obesity Code website a lot for fasting. I love the work they're doing in Canada, Jason Fung, and seeing people doing what you're doing just keeps you on course. I found that out through The Biggest Loser, and we stay in contact all the time. I still talk to my trainer from The Biggest Loser, but it's the people who are out there intermittent fasting every day that I'm watching them struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Can comment every once in a while, and their comments help me. That's how it all works.
Love it. Thank you, Rob, so much. This has been very enlightening. I think people are going to get a lot out of it, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was an honor to be here with you. You are my mentor in this walk, and I thank you for everything that that you've done, especially through the health coaching class, to help keep me centered.
Oh, my pleasure. Hey, guys, I just want to let you know I have my new keto course just came out. It's a mini course. It covers all the basics and how to do it correctly. You can get through this in probably 20 minutes at the very most. So if you're interested, click the link below and get signed up now.